Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Welcome to the Asterix Our Podcast. This is your captain speaking. My name is Ethan, and with me is my co-pilot, Kuji.
Picard. Oh, okay.
Kuji Picard.
The captain. That's a good name.
Kuji Picard? Mm-hmm. That is a good name. Is it too late to change your last name?
Yeah, it'd be kind of confusing. Actually, I saw some lady, I was wearing my name tag, it's a Kuji on it. Some lady's like, for the first time ever, surprisingly, she's like, ah, Italiano? And I'm like, si. And then she like walked away. It's really weird.
You made her day.
I did, because she recognized me, but I think she only spoke Spanish. Because then she started speaking to me in something that was not Italian. And also, I know what Spanish sounds like. So it definitely was Spanish. I don't know why I phrased it like that. It was 100% Spanish. But I also like how she recognized that I was Italian through her Spanish speaking. It was very nice.
Yeah, that sounds like a real human moment.
It was.
Something that we don't get any of in the movie we're talking about today.
And that's Cars the Deuce.
The Deucer. Cars 2, 2011.
Part 2.
So we're going to go through, break it down like we always do, step by step, all the missteps and regular steps.
Baby steps.
But let's start here. So this is, as we teased another previous podcast, Toy Story 3 and Shorts 1 or whatever, this is kind of the start of the lull. But this is definitely the low point, the nadir, as some might say, for Pixar features. It's boasting a Rotten Tomatoes score of 39%, Kuji.
39.
By far the lowest.
That's also just generally a bad score.
Right. It's the only rotten Pixar feature.
I mean...
Did you know that?
I didn't, but it makes perfect sense. Because this movie was... They took something that was already a bad movie and then had a shining moment right at the beginning and then they just tanked it. Like, literally, yeah. the whole time, I don't know if you felt this way, I was like, if you just made it about cool Michael Caine car being a spy, I would love this movie.
I had that exact thought. I mean... Yeah. So yeah, let's just jump into it because I want to get through this as quick as possible.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, like you alluded to, this movie starts with a pretty fun, like, action scene of a spy car a la James Bond, voiced by Michael Caine, infiltrating an oil rig and getting some incriminating pictures of a potential weapon that these baddies are putting together.
Yep.
And, you like the intro, sounds like?
I mean, I thought it was interesting. I did write down a question. Is yours in Spanish? And it's referring to, like, were all the written stuff in your version in Spanish?
No. What written stuff?
Like, you know, like, everything. Like, all the little, like... The little, like, symbols when he has, like, the spy vision and, like, his handwritten, like, suicide note thing. That was, like, all written in Spanish. But all the dialogue was in English.
No, that's a weird version to find.
It is. But I'm glad they, like, do the writing and stuff in Spanish, too. That's nice, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew that they, some of the famous cars that they have in there are voiced by like NASCAR people and stuff or whatever. And I guess in some of the foreign versions, they change those voices and change the characters' names to kind of match like famous people, wherever that version is being released.
Well, that's nice.
So I guess they put a lot of effort into to make it an international piece of crap.
But still a piece of crap. Don't you worry.
Now, I didn't get the Spanish version that you got, but I did accidentally get a 3D version. And all that means is that it's just a copy. So it just mirrored on both sides, so I had to like cut it in half to be able to watch it and not want to blow my brains out.
That's really strange, and I want to watch that version of that movie.
Well, I guess it was the best seating version you could find.
Did you watch like the original, like 3D taping of the movie, like the original reel of it?
Yeah, it must have been. I wish I had 3D glasses. Maybe it would have been cool. Maybe I would have enjoyed it.
I doubt it. I doubt 3D. Yeah. 3D just makes worse things worse because you're like, oh god, now they're coming after me.
In a whole nother dimension.
Yeah. Maybe if the movie was in 4D, it'd be good. You could smell like methane fumes the whole time.
Yeah, is that just you in a car watching it?
Yeah. Maybe you'd suffocate before the movie's over. It'd be great. Well, I'm glad yours wasn't Spanish.
Yeah, I wonder if you missed any cues. I can't think of any written cues throughout the movie that would have mattered, but...
No, because
it is pretty funny.
All the stuff, like the spies, they're like, these people are wanted in like Germany, Italy, the Czech Republic. It was just all in Spanish. So it was like Alemania, Italia, and like...
Italia.
I mean, they read it all off, so it wasn't like there's any like... I think this is also catered towards people who can't read yet, maybe.
Oh, that's a little young. Babies?
Yeah. Feet high.
You're not talking about illiterate adults. You're talking about small children.
Oh, God. I mean, there's an illiterate maybe adult illiterate. In the movie.
That's... Oh, jeez. Yeah, let's talk about the sterling cast we have. A lot of the repeats here. Owen Wilson as Lightning McQueen. Larry the Cable Guy.
He's back.
Mater. He's back, and guess what, folks? He is the feature of this freaking movie.
That makes zero sense to me. It's like, you know what like wasn't good about the first Cars? Having a stupid-ass tow truck the whole time. You know, we make it worse. Let's take that guy and make a whole thing about him.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down here. It's like they really overestimated how much people liked Mater.
Yeah.
I guess maybe in like very small doses, he could be tolerable. I don't think he was even tolerable in the first one, but they blew it on that case.
A very real question.
Yes.
Is he supposed to be like mentally handicapped? Because his level of intelligence is like lower than it should be. They really overplay it, like hard.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing too. Like, I guess we'll kind of get into the plot, but it requires him to, at times, be much smarter than he's been the entire time we've known this character. So it's just like, they're just doubling down on a really bad decision to make this a Mater movie.
That's like a trope with like goofy characters where like, if they need them to be smart in a certain scene later on, they're like really stupid and they know like a really high level thing and they go back to being really stupid somehow. Like,
right.
That's not how brains work. Like this...
That is a common thing that's just really outplayed. I mean, the whole like this whole movie is just pretty much what is it a comparison to, like a Mr. Bean movie maybe, or something? I don't know Mr. Bean well enough to make that analogy, I guess, but it's one of those like bumbling fools who like somehow passes off as smarter.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, it's like Johnny English, how about that?
But yeah,
like a really, really poorly executed version of it.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah, or like the Naked Gun or something. Like it's like a lovable buffoon somehow gets his way into solving a really complicated problem, except this buffoon is not lovable.
Yeah, and like even in Naked Gun, I mean, he's not that stupid. He's kind of like, I don't know. He's kind of like a dumb asshole, but he's not like you're saying, like borderline.
he's like oblivious, mentally challenged. Stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I also want to note, I wrote down this. The opening scene was like Fast and Furious. Like it's like Fast and Furious is wet dream. Because Vin Diesel keeps trying to make it so like cars go like different places, and like this car was like operating as a secret agent by himself and got to an oil rig somehow, which is like gonna be the next Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, I mean, they already in the last Fast and Furious had the like auto pilot cars, so the next one should just be no actors, just the cars.
Just cars.
Just the live action cars.
There's where else can they go? To space? That's the only place they can go. Or submarine cars. They have a submarine that's a submarine, but they need a car that's a submarine.
They did. And in here, too, we've got submarine cars, because Michael Caine, which they introduce the first character is the spy character. And he sounds like he's doing a really bad Michael Caine impression. And then I looked it up later and I was like, oh, fuck, that is Michael Caine.
It is Michael Caine, yeah.
It's like, oh, Lord. So he's basically James Bond, and he infiltrates this oil rig all to find pretty much that they're selling video cameras, like commercial quality video cameras, to this German car.
Yeah.
And then, but like you're saying, it's pretty cool. I mean, he's doing a lot of like fun spy stuff as a car that was kind of interesting to watch, like him. He's shooting the like a grappling hook across a ravine, basically, and then he pulls himself out and then shoots in other directions. So he's got the four different directions, and then he's able to like raise and lower himself. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it was great. Yeah, I think we agree on that.
And like it kind of works because I mean, James Bond movies, so much of them are about the cars. That's kind of like taking out the middleman there.
That's true, yeah. It's just like the Q stuff.
Yeah, so that goes on for maybe like 6 or 7 minutes to start the movie, and then no more enjoyment would be had by the audience.
Yeah, not great. And also, this movie is like 3 hours long. It's like the longest movie I ever watched.
Is it that long? I'll be honest, I kind of checked out about halfway through. It's 106 minutes long.
It's only 106 minutes long? There's no way. There's no way. That seems impossible to me. That's true.
It's true, man. Deal with it.
Well, my version was like 3 hours. Maybe the Spanish version's longer. I watched the extended cut.
Yeah, maybe there's some deleted scenes in there. Or some bonus features for the Spanish crowd.
I guess. Well... All right, well, the oil rig scene, there's just a couple things that it like set up for the rest of the movie. One is that cars operate other living things, which is weird. Like the boats are operated by cars. Like they're like, guess the boats, and they like,
oh yeah, like, it introduces people. Boats,
yeah, so boats,
very strange
people, and then birds are little biplanes.
And then there was the cranes were alive too.
Oh yeah. But then they were also being, like, some of the boats were being operated, like, the guns were being operated by cars. I don't know. It was just very dumb. I don't understand what that was about. But
yeah, like, I mean, as little as the logic, like, would make sense in the first one, they kind of, like, pushed it to the far extreme in this one with the anthropomorphic cars walking around. But whatever. I guess he had to go there eventually.
And then they also set up, like, because he threw a guy off the oil rig and he, like, fell into the ocean and, like exploded to a million pieces. But, like, they're, like analogous with, like, humans, the car. So, like, that's, like, a human just, like, falling and having, like, all his limbs ripped apart and, like, thrown everywhere. And it happens throughout the movie. They, like, straight up murder cars and it's, like, super gruesome, but it's not because there's car parts, but, like, they're referring to like really gruesome deaths of people. It's like crazy.
Yeah, I noted that too. The car like exploding in the water, very extreme.
Yeah. They could just but again, like float and his lights turn off. Like I don't know.
Yeah, like don't even. I mean, I get why they showed that first one, because then later, the bad guys are chasing the James Bond car and they shoot a missile and they think he blows up, so he like. Releases fake wheels so they think he's dead.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I guess, had to set that up, but still, it's pretty. Yeah, if those are their legs, that's pretty.
Yeah, it's like, if you like opened a backpack full of legs and like let them float up.
So after we leave Michael Caine and the fun part of the movie, we go back to Radiator Springs, the scene of the crime, and we come back to Mater. Of course, it shows Mater first before Lightning McQueen, because he's the star of this friggin' movie.
Like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, if you look at like the poster of Cars 2, Lightning McQueen is in the front. He is the main character.
Yeah, for sure. And he's probably got like 5 or 10 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember Owen Wilson being that great of a voice actor in the first one, but he sounds like so checked out in this one.
Who?
Owen Wilson.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to... The same thing you said about Michael Caine accent. I'm like, someone's doing a really bad Owen Wilson. It was him.
Yeah, it sounds like... Yeah, they recorded it like as he was like walking to another job or something.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no. And then
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So they're setting up a couple of things in the beginning here, because the bad guys on this oil rig... I think they pointed out at the time that they're all like shitty cars or lemons.
Yeah.
So they keep going back to that. And then when we first see Mater, he's helping out another lemon, towing him back to Radiator Springs. And the weird thing about that part is we see this like lemon broken down on the side of the road. And Mater's like, how far did you get this time? And he was like, oh, maybe halfway. And I was thinking, like, is this dude, like, trying to escape Radiator Springs? And then Mater keeps, like, dragging him back?
Apparently.
This poor guy.
God, that's stupid.
He's living in hell.
That guy was voiced by Jeff Garland, which makes me really happy.
Quick Jeff Garland.
I don't know why he didn't get more things to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was in tiny part in Toy Story 3, too.
Who was he in he was...
He was unicorn?
Yeah, he was something. Okay, yeah. But he's great, either way. But
he's great. Great voice.
I still hate Tony Shalhoub for his racist-ass accent.
Yeah.
That's, a lot of them came back.
He's back.
Someone died in between it.
Two people died, actually.
It was...
Do you know?
No.
Oh, George Carlin died in 2008 or something, and he was voicing the hippie.
And then that guy Volkswagen. Was different. That was
yeah.
They didn't even like try with that one. I swear.
Yeah, that one was pretty obvious. You knew right the second that it was just a bad George Carlin impression. Lloyd Schur was the replacement there, and then the other death was Paul Newman. A couple of rest in pieces there. And thankfully they didn't try to replace him. He's just...
Yeah.
He's mentioned once and that's it.
Yeah, they had that really awkward where they go to like the Doc Hudson Museum and it's like really awkward. They're like, he would have loved to see you do this. Wink, wink.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know... Because he doesn't die in the first one, right? So they just... Are they saying he's dead?
They just like imply it. Yeah, it's like... I don't know. I guess they were trying to justify it, but who the hell cares? It's like a kid's movie. You don't have to, like...
Kids probably don't even remember the first one.
Yeah. And also, there's so many goddamn characters, like... You're not gonna... Maybe he's just busy. You know, maybe he's off doing a tour. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, plus... That raises the question of, like, do cars die of old age? I mean, I guess... I don't know. Cars do, like... die in real life, you know, they get too old, but that's mainly because people don't want to fix them up anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, because
it raises a lot of questions.
I feel like you would be able to just fix everything back up,
especially since he's like a hero in like a small town that loves him. You think they'd all help him out? I don't know. No one else seems to age, so
yeah. And like, what's the life of a car? Like, what is the life of it? Because don't they like replace motors?
The average lifespan.
So like, what actually is the car?
True. That is a great
so many
question.
Questions. Yeah, man.
I mean, yeah, is it just the chassis?
John Lasseter, do you know?
Yeah, we didn't even mention it. I didn't want to besmirch his name, but John Lasseter was the director of this garbage.
He's like such an all-star. Why would he do this? Yeah.
This, I wrote down too, this really felt like a direct-to-DVD sequel that somehow, I guess, got the funding to be a regular feature.
I mean,
it made a lot of money.
Maybe Pixar doesn't do like too good for that. Well, no, because they made like the shitty Planes movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Planes spinoff came out before this. I am reading here that they bumped up the release date by a year, so maybe that's part of the problem right there.
They did that with Cars 3 too, so I wonder what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, I mean, that has the second lowest Rotten Tomato scores of all the Pixar features, so...
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
So yeah, speaking of John Lasseter, so this was kind of what his thought was about this film. He was traveling around the world promoting the first Cars, and this is his quote. "I kept looking out thinking, what would Mater do in this situation, you know? I could imagine him driving around on the wrong side of the road in the UK, going around in big giant traveling circles in Paris, on the Autobahn, dealing with motor scooters in Italy, trying to figure out road signs in Japan." Cool.
They just took a character that is like super culturally insensitive and then put him internationally. He is like the, and I hate to say this, but this is kind of, oh, they make fun of him in the movie for being American, but I think that's how, at least especially right now, is how the world sees Americans, or like, is like that fucking dumbass tow truck. Because even in the movie,
I mean,
he like does something dumb, and they're like, is he American? He like says something really stupid, and they're like, yeah, he's definitely American. And I'm like, that's about right.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't quite remember, but when the first one came out, that was definitely the height of like the Larry the Cable Guy stuff, which is obviously why he got the part. Like 2011, I can't remember if he was still popular.
No, he had a show briefly, right? And then he had a movie or something.
He definitely had a movie. He had a show. He had some commercials about heartburn medication.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he's got a tough stomach.
His movie came out in 2008, so this was a little bit after the milk had turned.
And even then, I feel like no one really cared about him, to be honest. And I hate to be mean, but I mean, no one cares about me, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a millionaire, so what do you care?
Yeah, but I mean, like, when that movie came out, I remember walking out of the movie theater and going, he's still alive? Like, I was just so amazed that it was super late in his career, I feel like.
Cars 2, you're saying?
Yeah.
But you saw that in theaters?
No, the movie, his movie. I remember seeing the poster in theaters and going, this is late even for him. Because he got big, then he had Cars, and I feel like he just dropped off after that. And then he made that movie to try to salvage it. And then he made this movie.
And then, I mean, I only assume he's in the third one, right?
I hope not, but he definitely is. Well, let's keep pushing with the movie, yeah. I guess. So they're setting up how Lightning McQueen is visiting, like, on an off day. And he's trying to, like, bang his Porsche girlfriend. And Mater doesn't understand boundaries. And he's watching a TV show. And then this other car that's really pompous, like... Everybody who's an athlete in a movie who's on top is like super pompous and like, I can beat everybody. One thing leads to another, and Mater somehow forces a challenge into Lightning Queen's hand, and they go to race on this 3-race circuit thing to see who's the fastest car ever.
Yeah, against a Italian Formula One car.
Yeah.
And right during that scene, right when he's watching on TV, it was the first entry in a new game I want to play called Is That Offensive? So Mater is posing as a waiter while Lightning McQueen and his boo try and have dinner. And I don't remember the context at this point, but he drops a hard I on Italian.
Does he really?
Yeah. This Italian restaurant or something like that. Now, we are both of Italian descent. Mm-hmm. Is that offensive? I almost said, is that racist?
It's offensive. Is that offensive? From him, from Larry the Cable Guy, because he doesn't get to... That's like... Because John Turturro does the voice of like the Formula One car, and he can do an Italian voice because he's Italian. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub. Go do a Jewish accent. I don't care what you do. Go do a monk accent. I don't care.
There'll be another entry into this game later on, but at least we got the first one out of the way.
No, we got a lot.
I also didn't realize that was John Turturro. Huh. Good. Good for him.
Yeah, man. You're right. Good for him. He was actually... He was in it 100%. He was like the only person who cared 100%.
He melted into the role. Like, I didn't even recognize his voice.
Yeah. Everybody else, Owen Wilson, yeah, like you said, he was like walking in a hallway. And then Michael Caine was also like in his bed or something doing it. Like, he didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, so it felt like a lot of... not a lot of heart in the movie.
Ooh, I have another. Is this offensive?
Sure.
Did the same person who played the black car play it again this time?
That's really weird, because I thought it was a different actress as well, but it's not.
That is strange.
As far as I can tell from Wikipedia, but I was like positive that she was different and the George Carlin guy were different. Because they were right next to each other.
Yeah.
A voice by Jennifer Lewis.
Because it was... Was that offensive? Let's go back to that game. Was her accent offensive? Because I think she dialed it up this time.
Maybe she also was not into it as much, so that's why it sounded different. Probably Cheech offensive. Marin. I mean, if going down that rabbit hole, was Cheech Marin offensive? I mean,
it's Cheech Marin's character, though. That's who he is.
That is how he sounds. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
It is offensive, probably, but him doing it, I feel like he gets a pass forever.
Cheech gets a pass. Yeah. It is, yeah, I'm confirming it was Jennifer Lewis in both. So. But that's weird that you thought that, too. That's funny.
Yeah, well.
So.
Sorry, I was just thinking of John Turturro. So, well, I was just visiting my brother in New York, and he claimed all night that he saw Stanley Tucci on the subway, like going to work or something. And I'm like, did you say something to him or something? Or like take a picture or anything? And he's like, no, but I totally saw him. And then I had to like show my mom like who Stanley Tucci was. Everyone knows who it is. And then it turns out it was John Turturro the whole time. He just they could not be more different people.
Wow, yeah. John Turturro's got a very distinct face. So
yeah.
That's a weird
mix up. Yeah, well, you know how it is in New York. Everyone looks the same.
Okay.
So the first leg of the race is in... It's very not true, by the way. Is in Japan.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying. We were all very confused. Well, yeah, so more details on this race, I guess. There's a eccentric rich man who tried to drive across the entire world, I guess, or something, and got lost halfway through. And in doing so, like, rededicated his life to renewable energy sources. So he's developed an oil that's... I guess I don't quite get the details on that. It's an oil that's, I guess, cleaner than oil. Did they specify what's in it? It's called all-in oil?
I imagine remember, it's like... You know, they started heavily...
Like ethanol?
Putting ethanol in the gasoline. Like, I think... That was around the same time, probably, or
that's
when
true.
I was getting big, at least.
Yeah, probably 2011. Yeah.
Which so, yeah. I don't know if that's even cleaner.
It's probably not. It's just corn.
Yeah. Just
big corn pushing it on.
Too much goddamn corn.
So this rich guy's got this oil, and to kind of promote the benefits of it, he's holding three races of the top race cars around the world, and in the races, they have to use this ethanol oil. So there you go. That's the conceit of the movie. That's what gets it going.
It's like all types of racing. Like it's like boxcar racing, Formula One, and then I guess like NASCAR-esque racing.
You say boxcar racing?
Isn't that what it's called?
I thought boxcar racing was like when you just like roll down a hill in like a box with wheels.
Maybe that is what it was. What are the ones that are like going, we're like the mud ones. The one that like...
The mud ones? Rally?
It was
like a French rally car.
It wasn't a French rally car.
Yes, there was. The one guy was... He was a French rally car. Did you watch this movie?
I did watch this movie. There were like those mud cars. They're called Spanish. Something. I'm going to find it out. It doesn't matter.
Maybe the Spanish version is different.
It probably was. I had a real cool time watching it.
So cool.
It was real nuevo to me.
Yeah, I did like that part of it. So the race, because they're all different race cars, the race itself is like different types of racing. So there's like street and then off-road and then I guess street again.
Like, what is like articulate, like where it's like hard corners and stuff?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's like hard corners and like loop-de-loops. And I kind of like that. And honestly, like you mentioned earlier, they set up this like spy movie thing, which is cool. And it's like, okay, we can go down that route. But then they also set up like this different style race, almost like a Mario Kart made into a movie with like all these cars from around the world. And like, that's kind of interesting. But like, they don't focus on either of those. They just focus on fucking Mater.
Yeah, they like everything cool they could have done. It could have been like a blood sport sort of thing where it's just like different people all around the world. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. Exactly, like blood sport. Or game of death. If they had made this movie like 100 different ways, but all they had to do was like take Mater out, and it probably would have been good.
Yeah. Huh. Or just, they should have made Lightning McQueen actually like a spy who just happened to be like up in the front, and then they have to like, he got like a XXX scenario where he gets like hired by the government.
Hell yeah, just remake XXX.
That'd be awesome. That was a good movie, probably. That's how I learned about Rammstein, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, kind of the whole problem with the movie is that, you know, sequels usually have the benefit where they don't have to introduce characters. They don't have to reestablish relationships. They can kind of just play with those characters in whatever scenario they want. And a lot of times it works. Most sequels are better or like more fun. But the problem here is that all the characters are awful, and the relationships they established, mainly Lightning McQueen and Mater being like best buddies in the world, make like no freaking sense with the characters themselves.
Because he hates him. He like deep down hates him.
I know. They're like total opposites. There's like nothing really between them that would create a lasting relationship as far as their characters goes. So it's just like so forced. It drives me nuts.
It's like a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. Like, he's like taking him along just because he has to, like, to be a nice guy.
What?
They go to Japan, and then he just really obnoxious, like terribly obnoxious, like
that was
which he reflects on later.
I forgot about that weird like dream sequence he has later.
Like, he eats a bunch of wasabi because he thinks it's pistachio ice. Like,
yeah,
the part that bothers me about him the most is that he doesn't listen. Like, people tell him things very upfront, and he like refuses to. Like, he talks over people and just keeps going.
Yeah, it's like, not only is he really stupid, but he's like really not present. He's just like a space cadet, and he's stupid, and he's kind of an asshole because he's like really too strong-willed for how stupid he is. But yeah, so they're in Tokyo here, and this brought their second entry into the game of is this offensive? they're watching a sumo wrestling fight. Mater shows up in full like geisha makeup and says domo arigato. Is that offensive or is it harmless?
It's super offensive. And again, it's because the way he does it, you can do that and it'd be funny, but like, he doesn't fit the lovable goofy guy. He's like, if you like the character, I think it'd be different.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I was trying to get out, I guess, earlier. This movie could work if they had built lovable characters, but none of these characters are redeeming.
That's what Pixar does, as we found, is that they always make characters that are unlikable.
That's true. The lead is always an asshole.
But what else does he do? Well, he eats a bunch of wasabi. He makes a scene. He like makes fun of a guy who's doing like a Zen rock farm or sand farm thing, whatever the thing is called. The rock
just
garden.
Zen garden. Yeah.
Zen garden, yeah. He does all that stuff. They do a good bit in Japan that I like, where they're like watching TV and it's like, or they're on the plane to Japan and they have like a Japanese game show, but it's with cars on the plane. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's like Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. Remember that show?
Yeah.
During that scene, did you notice the song that was playing?
No.
It was a cover of a Cars song, of course. But it was by Weezer.
I do know the song, actually. You mentioned that it was a cover of Cars. I heard that, and I didn't know it was Weezer until you just said that, which makes me kind of sad because I didn't really like it.
Exactly. Made me sad, too, because I love Weezer.
Yeah.
Another reason to hate this movie. Anyway.
They ruined Weezer for me. God damn it.
So he's eating wasabi and he thinks it's ice cream, of course. Ha ha ha. Then he's got a fart joke in there too. And then it's back to like some of the good stuff, like the spy stuff, minus Mater. Because he, like kind of a classic, he's just in the wrong place at the wrong time where there's a spy happening. With a spy car voiced by Bruce Campbell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, confirmed, Bruce Campbell. Could use more of him, too. So he gets, like, kind of, Mater kind of gets his way in the middle of this spy transaction, and then, of course, they mistake him for a spy, and that's what gets the rest of the movie going here. But that's just a trope we've seen so many times that it's like really frustrating and annoying because it's like these people, they're setting them up to be, you know, super duper spies, but then his stupid mannerisms and everything, of course they always look at it like through rose colored glasses. It's like, oh, he must be a super duper spy, and not like we could be wrong, this guy's not the actual spy. I don't know. It's just, I hate when movies do that.
It's a classic, like, switch him up in movies where they're like,
yeah,
oh, you're just saying you're not the spy because, oh, we get it, wink wink, totally. It's like, mm-hmm. No.
Like, I know, I'm so tired of that setup. It's just like frustrating to watch because, you know, eventually it's gonna be revealed that he's not a spy, so it's like, just get to that part already. It's that thing they do in movies where like someone either doesn't say the obvious thing to explain the situation or like keeps getting cut off when they try to say the right thing. I don't know. I hate that plot.
I hate that
device.
I hate that too. It like, yeah, you withhold information that could just exonerate you and like solve the issue like a second. Now I get it. I was a little upset, although it's revealed later on to be the other way, but basically they're making like alternative energy fuel the antagonist like the entire movie.
That's true. Because they reveal throughout these races that what they're actually doing is using these cameras, which are actually electromagnetic pulse guns, whatever, and they're blowing up the cars that have the ethanol in them. So yeah, it's kind of, it's not like directly attacking alternative energy options, but it's kind of like indirectly pushing along the like fear people have of like not knowing what's in them or what could happen using alternative fuels. Yeah. So yeah, it's a little irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of, well, let's sum up Japan, I guess, real quick. So they race in Japan. They use the camera EMP thing to like blow up a couple cars. That's cool or whatever, sort of. And then they go to, where's the next one's Italy.
And yeah, second one's Italy.
They blow up some more. Oh no, they blow up like all the rest of the cars in Italy.
Yeah, Italy's where they reveal their plan to a room full of the bad guys and to the audience too. And that's when they, I guess, they go full bore with it and blow up pretty much all the race cars, except for like just like a handful that are left. One being, you know, Lightning McQueen, of course.
They blow up a couple, and then like the rest get caught up on a bridge with them, and then they're like, the head of the evil alternative energy company is like, "I can, in good conscience, let you keep racing with this fuel."
Yeah, voiced by Eddie Izzard. I don't know if you recognize that.
I did. I was kind of bummed that he wasn't in it more.
Yeah, every other actor and actress revealed in this movie, you just get really bummed.
Yeah, it's like all these new characters that would be in the spy movie would be great.
And the spy woman is Emily Mortimer too, so that's a bummer.
Yeah, all terrific.
Yeah, all good people in their own right, brought together for this piece of poop.
And then they keep having a Mater like on their team. They show like how advanced spies they are, I guess.
They're basically having him like run point on the whole mission.
Yeah.
Which again, it's so stupid because Bruce Campbell was supposed to be the American spy they're supposed to meet. And it's like, I mean, I get it that they're spies, so their identities are secret, but at the level of spy that these guys are, wouldn't you expect that maybe they had like some inkling of who the other person was going to be? I don't know. As a rusty tow truck and then accept it.
The only thing they did to, they did the, what they did in like the original James Bond movies where they, when he would meet Felix Leiter, the American guy, they would say like a phrase like, "Oh, it's an awfully cold day. Can I borrow a match?" or like something to that effect. And then they would answer in a certain way, and then that's when you know that, I mean, code words. So they do it to him, but it's basically just like car trivia. Like, "Hey, did you know that Volkswagens don't have ventful fans or something?" And he's like, "Yeah, because it's air-cooled." It's like, okay, that's like saying like, "Hey, did you know the 76 Bears had 7 touchdowns in the Super Bowl or something?" And it's like, yeah. I don't know. It's just like, just random trivia. I don't know.
Right.
It's a bad example. Because no one would know that.
Well, no, it's not a bad example because there is the possibility that someone could know that. So those phrases are supposed to be like basically nonsense. Yeah. So that you couldn't have this entire scenario play out. And then, yeah, theirs is like even worse because it's just basic car trivia about them. And I mean, their cars, and she's asking it to a tow truck who's like basically a mechanic. So it's like, come on.
That's like true. It's like if you... We're like, "Hey, do you know humans have 5 fingers?" "Yeah, I knew that."
"Oh, you must be our spy."
Yeah, they have an opposable thumb. It's great.
So, in Italy, they reveal the whole plan. And, I mean, the plan... So, I had to go back and rewatch the parts of this movie because, like I said, I was kind of checked out mostly. But also, I didn't quite get the bad guy's plan. And the best I could come up with is that this his name is Axelrod, the Eddie Izzard character. Although he's like basically a Range Rover, for some reason he's identifying with the Lemons, which are like the shitty cars, and all the bad guys in this movie are Lemons. So I'm not really sure why he was like on par with them. I guess maybe when he got lost and he kind of got run down, he would then identify with Lemons, but they don't really flesh that out. So just for some reason, he's buddies with the Lemons and trying to bring the world back to them. So his plan is to make everyone hate alternative oils and go back to regular, you know, old-fashioned oil, which they control a big, reserve of with these oil rigs.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, what, like... like the car manufacturers in the U.S. do. Really? Down, like all the electric, and if we could have an electric car like 20 years ago if we wanted.
That's true. Yeah. 100% true.
That dude also has like solar panels, but then somehow, I don't know why he's promoting like the green fuel if he runs on solar panels, but then he doesn't. I don't know. And then.
Yeah, he's supposed to be electric the whole time, is what we think. But yeah, then why wouldn't he just promote electric vehicles?
Yeah,
I guess it was like a step in that direction. I don't know. I just don't get. I mean, I get why like they would make a lot of money from this, but they frame it as if it's gonna bring like respect to the Lemons in general, which doesn't make any sense.
Because they like are laughed at or something. They're not even like, I don't even consider them Lemons, because Lemons to me is like a certain, like one individual car that just manufactured bad, doesn't work. Not like they're like talking about models of cars that just didn't take off, like weren't popular. That's not really a lemon to me.
Yeah, it's true. A lemon is supposed to be just like a manufacturing defect.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's true. Yeah. But even like they don't ever really show, maybe I missed it, but they don't really seem to show people disrespecting the Lemons. So it's kind of, it's like a straw man argument that's going on here. And that's what the entire movie's based on.
Yeah. It's really, it's like someone watched too much Top Gear and was like, I know what I'll do. And like, that's pretty much, then they go to France for some reason.
Their parents. Probably. I fucking don't remember. I mean, the second race is in Italy.
They go to meet like their like secret connection guy.
Oh yeah. That's right. And they bring Mater. And I think that's when the only part the gag that I actually did like is Mater like is in that big shopping plaza, whatever. And he goes down like a random shop and he sees a car with the eyes or the headlights, as opposed to the windshield, which is like what people usually think of when they think of anthropomorphic cars. So that was kind of funny.
Well, I didn't get that. Like, what would that be equivalent to in like humans? Like, it's really strange.
Yeah, I have no idea. See, like seeing someone with eyes for nipples.
Like a guy from Pan's Labyrinth, maybe, like the hand eyes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it does raise more questions, but at the time, it gave me a lull.
It was funny because he freaked out so much.
Because it does, in the context of the movie, it does look really freaky compared to all the other cars with the windshield. That one car with the headlights does look really weird, so whatever.
And it was like, headlights!
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was really weird. Well, then they start like they're gonna infiltrate like a meeting of the Lemon car family. So like each, it's like makes me like the mafia. So like each of the Lemon models, they have like a father, like a godfather version, like the heads of the families.
Yeah,
and they'll have a meeting. But like, I don't know. It like, and they keep referring to, they keep like a spy picture of an engine under a hood, and they keep referring to it as the ugliest engine in the world or something.
Oh yeah, That's like
the worst.
It's like a video of the bad guy getting his orders, but with like a scrambled voice kind of thing. But it's always just a picture of his engine. Now, did you notice that this meeting they were having, and then this is the same scene where they reveal the plan in Italy and they start blowing up all the cars, blah, blah, blah. And they have a party, and it's a lemon party.
I knew it was a lemon party. It was really signage that said lemon party.
I mean, there's like towers of lemons in the room, and they say, I was having a party. So
it was a lemon party. You're right.
I'll be honest. I saw that on Reddit before, but it's still,
never funny. Admit that. Never admit that. Would you look up cars too on Reddit?
I don't remember where I found that. I think there's like a subreddit of like hidden jokes in movies or hidden.
Okay. Well, I mean,
plot stuff.
They couldn't get around that, I don't think.
I don't know. You didn't have to explicitly say we're having a party and room full of lemons, but what are you gonna do? I don't think John Lasseter knows about lemon party.
I hope he sees it. What's he gonna say?
Let's jump ahead here in the movie because.
Well, something about
running our tires.
Yeah, we're getting
spinning there. Our tires.
He says. First I thought that little video was like super dark sidey, like Darth Vader ish, because he kept saying like, "Yes, take him and do this." And he, like. Putting on like a weird affectation that I thought was strange, but in it, like, they go to England, and then like before the race happens, he makes up with McQueen, like makes up with Mater, and he says like, "You should just be you, be who you like. It's okay. You know what? You don't have to change. Don't ever change for anybody." And like. I think it's a really bad moral, because the moral of the whole movie is like, don't change who you are, be who you are wherever. But it's like, no, don't do that. Be different. Please.
If you're a dumb asshole, please change.
Yeah, like, hey, if you're basically it's giving like authority, like every shitty, douchey, douchebag American bro, if you're gonna like Italy or like Japan or whatever, I don't know, say stupid shit and eat a bunch of wasabi and throw up on people and say domo arigato all the time.
That's true. And in the Japanese or the Japan race, Mater being Mater is what causes Lightning McQueen to lose the race.
That's right,
being a dumb asshole. So it's like yeah, I get it, like identify with yourself, find your self identity, but like also adapt maybe.
Yeah, like, you have to adapt.
Evolve.
Social situations call for a certain way you have to act.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like, the fallback Disney moral, I guess, when they can't think of a good one, is just be yourself.
All right, well, they're in England, I guess. I guess we're there.
Yeah, it's the last race. Most of the cars were destroyed, so like you said, the bad guy, Eddie Izzard, was trying to cancel the last race, but Lightning McQueen was like, I'm still going to do it. And so a couple of the other cars still were in the race, but then friggin' Mater shows up, and this was all like really jumbled. I don't even know what was happening here, but Mater's got a bomb strapped to him.
They like, captured him. Because he had like a computer disguise thing, which is also another like weird. They have a whole subplot about how having dents is cool because you can remember like what you did with your friends. But that's like saying like having like gross scars in your body is cool because I can remember like messing around with my friends. It's just like that's what you have, a memory or like photos or anything really.
Yeah, they're gonna promote kids like going out and breaking bones.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, ugh. But yeah. Then they're in Big Bentley. I thought that was a funny joke too, actually. That was pretty good.
Oh yeah, Big Bentley instead of Big Ben. That's good. All the card pun names are, I appreciate those.
Yeah, I mean, they're little, but they mean things to me.
They mean well.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone, like, they try to blow him up, but he, like, it doesn't work.
Well, this is another one of those stupid movie cliches we were talking about earlier, because he's got the bomb strapped to him. It can only be disabled with the voice of the person who activated it, which we find out later is Eddie Izzard. And yeah. Mater shows up to, like, or Lightning McQueen finds him, and then Mater's, like, running away from him, but he doesn't just directly tell him, like, I've got a freaking bomb strapped to me that's going to blow up. Get away from me. He's like, I can't see you. And then McQueen thinks he's just being, like, annoyed. Yeah, because he was a bad friend to him. So that goes on for some time until they wind up right in front of the Queen car, the Queen of England car. And yeah. Then Mater finally confronts Eddie Izzard. And somehow, even though, I mean, none of these super spies can put this all together, only Mater is the one to figure out that Eddie Izzard is the bad guy based on the type of bolts they use to strap the bomb to his engine.
Yeah. Because they used super rare, like, bolts or something.
I mean, he says they use bolts that only British cars would use. So it's like, okay, that eliminates all but, you know, several million cars out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is just, like we were saying, this dumbass character that they've had for two movies now gets this brilliant Sherlock Holmes moment where he's, like, figured it all out and put it all together in his brain. Based a lot on those bolts that they used, and then he somehow recognized that in the video footage of Axelrod's engine, and he figured out.
Yeah.
No, you go.
I was gonna say he figures out, like, the boxes are, like, a certain rare type of box, but, like, the spies wouldn't figure that out. Like.
Yeah, I mean. I went back because when I first watched it, I was like, how the frick did he figure all this out? Because, like, this is all, he's just pulling this out of his ass. But, I mean, I think the movie does pretty well, I guess, to drop the clues throughout it. But again, to develop this character the way they did, like, there's no way you could have figured those out in real time. But whatever, he gets his moment.
Yeah, give him his moment. Yeah, that's he corners him and he does the classic thing, which is like, you bring the bomb to the guy who made the bomb, but he keeps denying it until it's to the point where they're both gonna blow up, and then he goes, "All right, I'll do it."
Yeah.
And he defuses the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had that joke a couple times where they're like, everything's voice activated now. It's like that.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Comes into play a couple times because, like, they put weapons on Mater that are voice activated, but yeah, that was a strange joke to different characters at different points made the same joke. And it's like, well, it's not, everything's not voice activated because this is the first time we've ever seen that in this world.
His voice activated guns come out when he says doggone it, which is not he says it wrong, I guess. He says doggone it.
Gun it.
Which is not even what the phrase is. I don't even understand. Like, that's a stretch. That's a real stretch.
Yeah, and then the Gatling guns come out and he says shoot, and then they start shooting. And then he says shoot again and a parachute opens up.
Yeah. And then he's like, I want to get away from McQueen, and they're like, okay, and they put rocket jets. And I'm like, I don't think it's like interpretive software.
Yeah, at first it's like really literal, where it's like trying to parse out the word he's saying, but then it's just like, yeah, it could make me get away from him. Like, they could have blown up Lightning McQueen, that would have got him away too.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And then it ends with no one winning the race. They kind of like push the whole winning the race centric part of it just away. They just don't care anymore at the end.
Yeah, because the Italian car won the first one, and then Lightning won the second one, and then the third one, no one won. So at the end, they have like kind of a friendly.
Yeah, and they have a whole like back and forth about like, we should just race for fun.
Yeah, it's all for fun. And then the other thing about the end, like throughout the whole movie, it's really annoying that Lightning McQueen is like friends with Mater because they're just total opposites and don't make sense as far as characters go. But then like by the end, friggin' everyone loves Mater. And I just had to write down, why do people like Mater? Because, I mean, yeah, obviously, I guess he saved the day. But then, like, the hot spy car chick, Emily Mortimer, is, like, saying she's his girlfriend. And everyone's, like, saying, oh, he's so cool. And it made me think, like, maybe this entire movie is just, like, a Mater fantasy sequence. So it makes sense that we would focus on him directly the entire movie.
Yeah, no, it could. It's him just like in a cell, sad because his friend like went to go race off with Adam, and he just doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like everything works out so well in his favor.
It's also ridiculous. I wrote down at the beginning, if he gets this girl, I'm gonna kill myself. he did get this girl. I'm his girlfriend. It's like, you found out halfway through the movie he was just an idiot, not like playing an idiot. Like, no woman would fall in love with you like that. I'm sorry, dumb guys, but that's just what happens. You gotta have something.
Yeah, and the whole movie, the girl spy is kind of like the new one, so she's has to prove herself, which she does later on. But, I mean, you would think like these two spies who put like kind of the fate of the world in the hands of someone who wasn't a spy based on their own mistakes, or I feel they probably fired from whatever spy agency they're in.
Yeah.
Or I guess killed. Yeah. I don't know how they fire people.
Yeah. They shoot them in the head. Just poof, that's it. Well, yeah. Like if you worked for like the CIA or like MI6 and you were like, yeah, I thought this like dumb guy was just playing dumb, was a spy, but actually he was just an idiot. So I gave secret information to just a random guy. You would definitely get fired and or shot.
Yeah, definitely shot, because they know way too much.
You might get fired first as a formality. You definitely and then, get shot.
And then the worst part at the end, after all this, I mean, it worked out in the end by sheer luck, but they do the classic at the end of the movie. They're like, you want to come on another mission? It's like, motherfucker, this guy's not a spy.
Yeah, yeah. He's not good. Stop inviting him into your life.
You got real lucky one time. Don't force it.
Also, there was another, speaking of girl thing, there's another like, I don't, it's like a little misogynistic, I think, because the other subplot was like Lightning McQueen's girlfriend thought that John Turturro's character was hot, like super sexy because his wheels were open or whatever.
Yeah.
And they keep playing that up like, hey, I'm going to fuck your girlfriend. It's like, bro, like, it's a kid's movie. You don't have to say it like, you don't have to like keep pushing it.
Yeah, at the end, he introduces that tying card to his girlfriend. And for a second, I was like, wait, is he just like giving her to him? Is that how he gets down?
I thought that might happen too. That it might be like, well, you're the better man. You can get the girl.
Yeah, or like you can have her for a night or something creepy like that.
And there's like the only two female characters are like dependent on male validation, which is depressing. But
yeah, this whole thing is depressing. I mean,
well,
like kind of in summary, It's a shit movie, mainly because Mater is the lead. It could have been marginally better if that character never existed, but definitely deserves the place it sits as the worst Pixar movie that we've seen, at least to date.
Yeah. They're rock bottom.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was surprised that some of the other movies coming up had better ratings than expected. But this is still bottom of the barrel.
I mean, can't hit them all at the park. Sometimes you just gotta make like a mediocre one.
I mean, it's below mediocre, but I see what you're saying.
Oh, don't kick them while they're down.
So next time, we got some more shorts on the way.
We got Piper and Lou are up next.
Okay.
Piper and Lou.
Piper. Oh, yeah, I've seen Piper and Lou.
You've seen Piper?
I have seen Piper.
Piper, no piping.
Piper, no piping. Piper won Best Animated Short. Not to jump the gun here, but...
Whew.
Maybe we're going back to some good ones.
Last time they won was for the birds. Maybe they should just keep doing birds things.
Hey. That's a good point. Alright, so we'll come back with those and then keep this train moving along.
Sounds good.
Make this car moving along. Damn it, I should have said car.
Oh, you missed it, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, oh no. And then
wow.
Yeah.